First, changes could be coming to a major international nuclear deal. On Friday, President Trump announced he would not continue to certify the Iran nuclear agreement, but stopped short of pulling out of the deal altogether. Here's a listen to the president speaking on Friday.
By his own terms, the Iran deal was supposed to contribute to regional and international peace and security. And yet, while the United States adheres to our commitment under the deal, the Iranian regime continues to fuel conflict, terror, and turmoil throughout the Middle East and beyond.
With the announcement, Trump is putting the pressure on Congress and U.S. allies to strengthen the agreement. He's also threatening to terminate the deal if those conditions cannot be met.
Valerie Lindsay joins us now. She's executive director of the Wisconsin Project on Nuclear Arms Control. Valerie, welcome back to Central Time.
Thanks for having me.
So the president didn't leave the deal, but he didn't recertify it. What does that mean exactly?
Exactly. Well, it's not sure exactly what that means. What he has said is that there are issues with the agreement itself that he would like to see corrected. There are issues outside of the agreement that are a grave threat to U.S. national security with regard to Iran that he would like to see addressed. And if those issues are not addressed, he doesn't feel that staying within the nuclear agreement is in the U.S. interest. And so we're at this point now where people are trying to figure out whether improvements or additions to the agreement can satisfy the administration, and therefore the administration would continue to adhere to the agreement.
This is a fairly complicated agreement, Valerie, but can you tell us what is inside and outside? What did it cover, and what issues raised by the president are not covered in that agreement?
Yeah, this is quite important. The agreement is narrowly focused on Iran's nuclear program, and so what the agreement does is it places restrictions on certain parts of Iran's nuclear program for a period of time. And after that period of time, Iran is allowed, with inspections, to have a much broader nuclear program. In exchange for accepting these restrictions, Iran was granted sanctions relief, specific relief from specific U.S., European, and U.N. sanctions. That is what the agreement covers. What the agreement does not cover is Iran's ballistic missile program. It does not cover Iran's destabilizing activities in the region and beyond. It does not cover Iran's human rights record. So those are issues that were mentioned by the president on Friday, but they are not explicitly dealt with by the agreement.
Why weren't those in the original agreement?
Because the parties would not have been able to come to any agreement at all if they had been included. Iran clearly does not would not compromise on many of these issues because it feels that its interest is different from the U.S. interest in Iraq and Syria and Yemen. So no agreement at all would have been reached had all of those issues been included in it. The ballistic missile question, I think, is a little bit more troublesome. Organizations like ours argue that ballistic missiles are an inherent part of a nuclear weapon program and should have been dealt with in the agreement, but they weren't. In order to reach a compromise, ballistic missiles were left out.
Is it realistic to go back to the bargaining table at this point, do you think, and maybe expand the initial agreement to include things like ballistic missiles?
I think that's a question. I mean, that's clearly what the administration is trying to do. For my part, I think it depends on how much exactly they want to pile on to the agreement. You might be able to look at things like ballistic missiles or the so-called sunset provisions within the agreement, the fact that some of those restrictions I mentioned expire after a period of time, and it may be that the parties to the agreement could come to some sort of an accommodation on those issues. I think that if you try and put too much on the back of the agreement, like Iran's activities in the region, for instance, seems very, very unlikely that could be achieved. And if the president requires that in order to continue staying in the agreement, then I think he's likely to decide to pull out.
We're talking to Valerie Lindsay, executive director of the Wisconsin Project on Nuclear Arms Control, looking at the announcement last Friday from the White House that the U.S. would not recertify the nuclear arms agreement with Iran. Not entirely clear what that means in practice. Valerie, let's look at the issues covered by the agreement, nuclear weapons development. You wrote recently that we could sure use more transparency when it comes to what we know and don't know about what Iran is and isn't doing. What did you mean by that?
Well, the president is making a series of assertions about violations, about compliance, and we've been arguing for some time that there's not enough information in the public domain to really be able to evaluate those claims. So has Iran really violated the agreement as the president has said? Or are the problems of a different sort? So we've argued for more information, more public information about the nuclear inspections taking place in Iran, more information about there's this sort of joint commission that oversees the implementation of the agreement. The U.S. is a party to that commission. Iran is a party to that commission. So what is that commission doing? What is it deciding on? What inspections is it authorizing? Is it allowing inspectors or endorsing inspectors access to military sites, for instance? There are a series of sort of issues in the way that the agreement is operating that, for those of us on the outside, we really have no visibility into exactly how they're functioning.
Is that maybe something that makes the deal possible for Iran, saying, okay, we'll let you do these inspections, but we don't want all this information in the public domain, in effect?
It's possible that that would be, I mean, that's one possible solution. I think the point here is that there are mechanisms within the agreement to try and deal with some of the issues that the president raised. And it's not clear to those of us on the outside whether the administration is really investing in and trying to get a resolution to the issues within those mechanisms. I mean, it requires really an investment in the agreement. And as we saw on Friday, and as we've heard today, it's not clear that the administration, that the president, is really interested in making that investment.
What are some of your areas of concern when it comes to inspections in Iran? What are areas that we don't know because there isn't this transparency you're looking for, but that would worry you about where Iran could be violating the agreement without us knowing?
Well, there are areas. The agreement prevents Iran from doing a series of activities related to nuclear weapons development in particular, and it's not clear exactly how the international inspectors are confirming that Iran is not doing those things, because inspectors generally are looking at nuclear material. They're not looking at some of these other things that are captured by the nuclear weapon activities. And so more information about exactly how inspectors are verifying that Iran is not working with high explosives or working with high-speed cameras that could be used for a nuclear weapons test, that's important for the International Atomic Energy Agency to explain. And it's important for us to know that those inspections, that verification is happening. At this point, we really don't.
And another concern, as I understand it, is whether inspectors have access to specifically military research facilities in Iran.
That's correct. That is one of the areas. So this type of nuclear weapons work that I mentioned could be taking place in a laboratory at a university. It could be taking place at a military site. It could be taking place in a number of locations. So, inspectors' ability to access military sites is one of several areas that needs to be resolved.
Now, the president made this announcement, and a lot of people are reading this as putting it now in the hands of Congress and European allies, who also, it's important to note, signed on to this agreement. What could Congress or European allies do to meet the White House's concerns here?
Well, Congress is taking up, is looking at possible legislation that would essentially set down a series of markers, and if the markers weren't attained, it would trigger the reimposition of sanctions. So if the international nuclear inspectors are able to access or are not able to access military sites, for instance, within a certain amount of time, that could trigger the reimposition of sanctions and a series of measures like that. So Congress could take the action of trying to sort of deal with the problems that the president raised on Friday. Congress could also fail to reach a consensus and do nothing. That is a possibility. It's sort of unclear at this point exactly what Congress will do. The other parties to the agreement have been universally critical of the president's announcement, including the European Union and European countries party to the agreement. They are committed to the framework of the nuclear agreement. Some of the countries have shown a willingness to work with the United States to try and get improvements on the margins of the agreement, but they all have said that they are committed to the framework of the nuclear agreement.
Are there mechanisms in the agreement itself that say, okay, if Iran violates these terms, these sanctions can be reimposed?
It is a rather blunt instrument, the reimposition of sanctions. So essentially, there's no kind of proportionality. If Iran is considered to have made a material breach, and the parties can't remedy the problem, there is a mechanism to allow the sanctions to snap back. But there's no distinction between a major breach and a minor breach in this snapback scenario.
We're talking right now with Valerie Lindsay, Executive Director of the Wisconsin Project on Nuclear Arms Control. We're talking about President Trump's announcement last week that he'll be effectively decertifying or declining to recertify the international nuclear deal with Iran. We're looking at what that could mean for the two countries going forward.
And you can join the conversation by calling 800-642-1234. How should the United States proceed on any nuclear agreement with Iran? Do you agree with the president that the current deal is flawed and needs reform, or is the deal in place doing its job? Let us know what you think by calling 1-800-642-1234. Again, that's 800-642-1234, or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page.
We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Jay Carlisle Larson. We're continuing our conversation with Valerie Lindsay, Executive Director of the Wisconsin Project on Nuclear Arms Control. We're talking about the international nuclear deal with Iran and President Trump's threat to pull out of the deal if Congress and U.S. allies do not agree to reform and strengthen it.
You can join in at 800-642-1234. What would you like to see out of a deal with Iran? Do you think the current deal is working, or does it not go far enough to stop the country's nuclear ambitions? What questions do you have? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll go to our callers. We've got Brian on the line in Madison. Brian, hi.
Hi. Everybody says that we can't inspect military sites, but I thought I heard this morning that if there was proof or suspicion that they were developing nuclear weapons on military sites, the deal says that we could inspect it, and Iran couldn't essentially say no. And I'll take my question off the air. Thank you.
Brian, thanks. Valerie, is that right? The inspectors have the right to inspect military sites in Iran?
That's right. The agreement allows for inspection of what they call sort of undeclared sites that are not part of Iran's declared nuclear facilities. The agreement does have sort of a series of procedures that can take place to allow inspectors access to such sites.
Thanks a lot for the question, Brian. I want to look at the deal as a whole. Valerie, President Trump has repeatedly referred to the Iran deal as one of the worst and most one-sided transactions the United States has ever entered into. A couple years out, how do you evaluate the deal, the Iran nuclear deal, as far as success or failure goes?
I would say it has been a success, if you define success narrowly, in that it has successfully restricted the most worrisome parts of Iran's nuclear program, and Iran has largely complied with those restrictions, and the other aspects of the agreement have functioned. I think there was an aspirational goal of the agreement, which was to sort of improve relations with Iran, to work on a host of other issues of concern between the United States and Iran. On that level, it has not succeeded, and I would say that's the case. That was the case prior to the arrival of the Trump administration. It was the case in the Obama administration. So I would say narrow success broadly hasn't achieved what was hoped. And the question now is really to figure out the balance, and does what is achieved outweigh sort of the costs that the administration clearly sees in continuing to adhere to it?
We'll go back to our callers now at 800-642-1234. John is on the line in Menominee Falls. John, hi.
Hello. Thanks for receiving my call. I listened to a public radio announcement the other day where they were talking about how the European allies, or the multinational group who was doing the inspections, had said that Iran had met all of the parts of the agreement that were listed with the Obama administration. And I pretty much believe what they said. And secondly, if you go back to Trump's history as a businessman, he spent huge amounts of his career trying to get out of contracts he signed with people and was sued numerous times by people for his dealings in contracts. So it seems like he just has a phobia against actually going through with a contract anyone signed.
John, thanks for the call. So, Valerie, as far as we can tell, it sounds like Iran has officially met all the stipulations of the agreement?
Yes. Again, I think that you can look at things sort of narrowly and literally or more broadly, but I think that there is agreement that on the sort of narrow interpretation, even the administration agrees that Iran is, as I think Secretary Tillerson said, in technical compliance with the agreement. So that is not under dispute.
And then he was kind of questioning President Trump's motives in wanting to get out of the deal. I mean, is there a case to be made that by trying to renegotiate, we might get more leverage on Iran and be able to roll in maybe the ballistic missiles, maybe interference in other countries in the Middle East into a bigger agreement?
There's clearly a hope to exploit what the administration sees as kind of a leverage point here. It's unclear to me whether that will be successful because we saw the reaction of the Europeans, basically the partners that we would need really to have this broader strategy on the missiles and the other issues. So it's unclear whether the leverage strategy will work, but that is the hope of the administration.
We're talking to Valerie Lindsay from the Wisconsin Project on Nuclear Arms Control, looking at Iran, President Trump not recertifying the nuclear agreement with Iran and what happens next. Back to your calls now. Peter is on the line in Madison. Peter, hi.
Hi. I hope that Trump doesn't reimpose the sanctions and that we stick with the Iran deal. I think the biggest thing that's missing out of this whole debate is the context of why Iran is going for a nuclear weapon and why they view us as an enemy. If you look back at the history of Iran, with the Iran-Iraq war where we supported Saddam Hussein, we used chemical weapons against them, and look at what a coup that happened in their country in 1979 and why they have an Islamic Revolution government rather than a non-theocratic government. It makes sense why they're opposed to us. I think the thing that we should do is try to not do sanctions and incorporate our economy in with theirs, because eventually they are going to get a nuclear weapon. Because they have too many educated people that eventually I think they will get it.
Peter, I want to jump in because that's a lot there already. First of all, Iran, suspicious of the United States as a negotiating partner, hard to get him to the table in the first place, I imagine, Valerie.
Yes, it was the work of over a decade before this agreement was concluded. I mean, the Europeans started negotiating with Iran on their own in 2003 when the scope of Iran's secret work came to light. So this has been a long time coming, this agreement.
And then another point Peter made was Iran's going to end up with a nuclear weapon eventually anyway. I imagine from where you're sitting, you don't accept that as inevitable.
I don't accept it as inevitable, but I would say that Peter makes a very good point, which is that there's a certain amount of inherent capability that Iran has developed. It has developed the ability to enrich uranium, and enriched uranium is one of the materials that can be used to fuel nuclear weapons. So there has been a sort of inherent capability that Iran has developed. It has a broad scientific base. So it's certainly within the realm of the possible, technically speaking. So then you have the question of how do you construct a framework to prevent it from happening, to decrease the motivation on the part of Iran to actually develop nuclear weapons.
And then finally, Peter, worried about sanctions being reimposed if the United States, if Congress decided, yeah, we're going to go ahead with sanctions again. What does that do to the deal with Iran?
If Congress pursues non-nuclear sanctions on ballistic missiles, terrorism, et cetera, it is not a violation of the nuclear agreement. Congress already adopted those sanctions in August and could do more similar sanctions and try and bring the Europeans on board for similar sanctions and other like-minded countries. If Congress reimposes the sanctions that were waived as part of the nuclear agreement, that would be basically the end of the nuclear agreement because Iran would object. It was one of the main benefits to the country.
Looking ahead now, Valerie, what are you hoping comes out of all this?
What comes out of all this? It's hard to say exactly where we go from here. I hope that this doesn't become too much of a distraction, this question of certification and decertification, because in a sense, the Trump administration has put the nuclear agreement at the center of its Iran policy in a way that the Obama administration did, and the overall Iran policy should be much broader. My hope is that the administration focuses on the real improvements to the agreement that could be made within the framework of the agreement, the points that I've made previously on increasing transparency, the points on using the mechanisms of the agreement to get access to military sites if needed, as one of the other callers raised. These sorts of things I think we could do within the agreement, and we could do with the support of other parties to the agreement. If the administration decides that it's going to load every grievance it has against Iran and try and resolve all of those in order to continue with the nuclear agreement, I think it's a losing scenario for nonproliferation, and I think it's a losing scenario for our ability to sort of rally the world behind a campaign to sanction Iran.
We'll leave it there for now, Valerie. Thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks so much for having me.
That's Valerie Lindsay. She's the executive director of the Wisconsin Project on Nuclear Arms Control. She joined us to talk about President Trump's announcement late last week that he would not recertify the international nuclear deal with Iran, and looking at what that could mean for both countries going forward.